Jason Wetzel, speaking to you from scenic downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina, with Lynn Pryor, the creative genius of the Gilbert Theater. How are you tonight, Lynn?
Very well, thanks.
Good. And what's in store for us this evening?
Well, last time we spoke, Jason, went into detail about opening night. What a memorable time it was. Opening night came and went, and there, the cold dawn, the whole future of the Gilbert lies ahead of you. And it's sometimes very exciting, sometimes it's terrifying. It's a time when you gather people together. This is one of my strengths, I like to think, is producing, bringing people together to create something. Because theater is a collaborative art, if there ever was one. And so people begin to come. If you build a theater, they will come. That's become such a cliche, but it's true. So opening night is over, and now we face the future. So begins 21 years ago. Wonderful time in my life. I used to call it Act 3, but now with my longevity in my family, it's almost a curse, I'm beginning to think. We'll have an Act 4. And I think I'm entering Act 4. Go through my 80s into my 90s, and who knows what. But it continues to be a great, great time for me. And so here we are in 647 Brants Lane. It's a rectangle. I kind of forget the dimensions. It's not particularly large, but it's large enough for this beautiful Tudor English Romantic Revival house. Cottage, really. But fortunately, in those days when it was built in the 20s, there's a cornerstone, Jason, out there at the western, southwestern corner of the house. It says June 21st, 1926. In those days, you had basements because you needed coal bins and so all of these, you had help, and there was an old clawfoot tub down there, and an ancient toilet with a chain and kind of the house people needed in the 20s in the South. And how lucky for us today that was true. Today you pour a slab of cement and start putting 2x4s up and whatever it is to build something, fine. But give me an old house any day. And of course it's this day, this house, that gave us the Gilbert Theater and me this wonderfully rich life. The house has wonderful light, and throughout it's raised up, so when you sit on the terrace, as I do every morning coming from the gym, I come home and grab the paper and fix a wonderful breakfast and sit there and read the paper and eat and play with the dog and look out in the garden. So these things are just the common, everyday, ordinary things I find very, very meaningful and lovely. But I've mentioned this before, but it's true. I've said I require four things in my life. I require beauty, love, spirituality, and creativity. And there was a time, and I'm saying it again tonight, if some magician, if Dale Kolonowski were to come here tonight and pass a magic wand over me, and our magician guest from 2 weeks ago, pass this wand over me and say, you cannot leave this property, this plot, ever again, I would say, fine. It's fine with me. I have everything I need here. And that was particularly true when the theater was here. Creativity. Oh, when you do, when theater is the art, Jason, it is, of course, musicians would say something different. Painters would say something different. Dancers would, but anyway, I'm a theater person, and I'm saying a theater is marvelous because it has to do with stories. I'm very, very big on storytelling, and who isn't? My whole career was children's librarian, and I told stories. I taught storytelling at a community college for years. I did book talks, which I loved doing in the library. I would take 30 minutes and bring a book alive, characters with different voices and all. So I had that wonderful career. My life has been so blessed. I feel like something bad should, it's not really fair. I should have something bad happen to me. Before long, I don't want to wish it on me. But anyway, so the theater, the theater was open, has opened now. And we are starting to attract more people. We are people, we're playwrights and directors and technical people who are saying to me, oh, I never want to be on stage, Lynn, but I'll help in some way or other. Okay, you can make the carrot cake. Okay, you can learn how to run lights. You can find the props. You can help build the set. You can weed in the Gilbert Garden. So this collaboration, and then, of course, the actors, the wonderful actors, came in. And can you believe that, so when we started, did I mention this last time, how the Gilbert Garden came about? I think I did, where I didn't see that at first. We had two spaces. That we had the black box downstairs. But then, as Matt Bullock said, your wonderful outdoor space is back here. It's a natural amphitheater. Forgive me for repeating myself, but there it is. But when you are doing Shakespeare outside, we talked about this earlier in the stories portion of our weekly podcast, that when you do Shakespeare outside, of course, the Globe Theater was this big O, they called it. And it was largely outside, because there was no other, you know, it had natural lighting. But nevertheless, outside theater. So when we did the Shakespeare plays there in the fall or in the spring, to hear actors reciting those lines in rehearsal, going off, walking down the lane, practicing the lines, seeing the play come together, adding music, adding dance, experts coming in and talking to the cast, putting Shakespeare together. There is nothing like it in this world, and we did this right here on this rectangle. So these four things I had the creativity with the wonderful theater. I had the spirituality. My spiritual curriculum has been the Course in Miracles for years and years, and I used that. And studied it intently for such a long time, and I was so became such a part of me that hardly a day doesn't go by that I don't remind myself on something, that how to handle some situation or other. So spirituality, and then of course knowing people, doing theater is a spiritual experience. And people come together and it's a spiritual union. You said something earlier about when you came into the space, what did you feel?
Lynn, this rectangle, as you call it, for me personally, as somebody that's been in Fayetteville for 5 years, this is a magical place. This place has an energy that vibrates. You can feel the energy and presence of all the actors and directors and creative people that have been here before. The lines that were mentioned, the lines that were said, still reverberate.
Well, thank you. I remember when Marcella Cosal, one of our great stalwarts, directed so many plays here, such a great friend, told me when she walked through the door downstairs, the theater door into that space, she just had this feeling of coming home. And she was, thank God she found us. She was just been a brilliant addition to us for such a long time. So, yeah, well, and let's thank Mother Nature when it comes to beauty. I like to think that the garden itself was just a blank. It was just, I had to tear everything out and start fresh. A wonderful landscape designer drew up the plan, we worked the plan, but these wonderful old trees, we just lost one that was 130 years old. We had to take it down, an elm, because it was leaning and rotten and could have just taken down a neighbor's garage. But so I had to come down. But many of the old trees are still here. And so I was trying to measure one. I was sitting at breakfast yesterday. I said to Bob, how tall do you think this walnut is? I think it's at least 60 feet high. And we tried to figure it out, maybe 60, 70 feet tall. So we had these great trees, and then we have this wonderful, wonderful brick wall, and then you have the intermediate size plants, and then the small plants, then the hardscape, the wall, the retaining wall, and the gazebo, and the wonderful church doors at the top of the garden, those antique church doors which don't have a screw or a nail in them. Someone will think of it in a minute. It's an ancient, very, very old 19th century church doors, which I put at the top of the garden because I wanted another focal point. Our wonderful entrance, which has this wonderful gate that people would enter to enter the garden for the shows, bringing picnic lunches, wine and cheese. So here we have the creativity with the performing arts, the performing art known as theater. Then love comes to us from, I get love just thrown at me all the time. I'm just so blessed. And speaking of the Course in Miracles, one of the things that I like to think I live by is how the Course teaches, urges us all to be what amounts to be being truly helpful. Now, people frequently say, well, I just want to be helpful. Well, let's add the word truly in front of that. Being truly helpful. So whenever anything, situation comes up as a director or as a neighbor or whatever, or just life in general, I'll say to myself, just step back a moment and ask myself, how can I be truly helpful in this situation? And I'm telling you, folks, this is, then you, it takes the judgment out of situations where you're not playing God 10 times, 50 times a day, criticizing our fellow passengers on this spaceship. You are saying something that perhaps you figure out it needs help, and you say, I can be helpful. If I say to myself, how can I be truly helpful? The answer will come to you. It always does. So, have I mentioned, talked about all four of the creativity, the beauty in the garden, the love, spirituality, these four things? I suspect if anybody were to make up their own list of things that they want in their life, it would be these four. Maybe there's a fifth one I'm not thinking of. Please let me know, so I'll add it to mine. But to me, this covers it all. And if you can conduct your life in a way so that you nurture each one of these things, if you find your short-changing one, work on that one and try to get them in balance, but have them all there. And that's what I've had. And so if I couldn't leave this space, Jason, ever again, I could live a full, rich, and happy life. Was it Kant, who never went more than a block or so from his childhood home and led a very full life? I'm not comparing myself to Kant, but why not? Each one of us has this potential for leading a gloriously rich, satisfying life. But we have to be conscious of our fellow passengers. We have to be conscious of opportunities, have to be very wary of becoming judgmental. It doesn't help. And so I am one of the lucky ones. My greatest, you know, the Constitution promises Americans the pursuit of happiness. And wouldn't it be nice if we were to illustrate in our own lives to people around us that this pursuit can lead to happiness. And that's what I think I have done, and I'll continue to work on that. And I hope that would be for everybody, that the pursuit of happiness is something that you approach in a way that is going to bring you great joy and satisfaction for your entire life.